Friday night, and we are on our Craft Beer Nation Friday night hangout, and I have a couple friends with me here today, and we're going to talk about IPAs. So one of the Americans' sweetheart, I would say, most favorite style in North America when it comes to craft beer. And I bet some of you are very fond of it. I know one guy here, Randy.
What?
So how is everybody doing tonight?
Excellent.
Good.
Maybe I should introduce you all. I have Matthew Miller, Charles Dunkling, Lola Arisi, and we have Patrick join us tonight from Ear Better. Say that for me there, Patrick.
Ear Better.
Randy Gardner, Janetti, myself, Gil Mello. So, what do you guys think about
IPAs? I was going to say that again in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Ask
In two IPAs, ask him again.
Right. If you want to follow us, just look at the craftbeernation.org or .beer, and you can find us there on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, everywhere there. So I'm not going to go through all that tonight. Just going to go right into drinking beer. And with that note, I will get Randy going while I get my beer ready.
Well, so obviously, I mean, IPAs are one of my favorite styles. I prefer bigger beers, so I prefer double IPAs, but an IPA is always appropriate. Arguably probably one of the most popular styles of beer in America right now. As we've tend to hop things up to the next level. And so it's all about IBUs now. Well, actually, it seems to be less and less about IBUs anymore, but the style of the IPA itself still reigns supreme as far as I'm concerned. And tonight, I'm drinking a beer that is a collaboration brew between DC Brow up here in DC and Oscar Blues. And this beer is called, I don't know how well you can see the can, but it's called Smells Like Freedom. Smells Like Freedom IPA. This beer was brewed in conjunction, like I said, with DC Brow and Oscar Blues, because about maybe a month and a half ago, DC just legalized recreational marijuana, and as we know, it's been legal in Colorado for a while, which is Oscar Blues' territory. So these guys got together, brewed a beer, and Smells Like Freedom. So you can guess how this beer smells, considering the coalescence point. So if you remember back in October, I'm sorry, April 4th of last year, Stone had their Enjoy By that was devastatingly dank. Well, this beer is quite dank, and The nose on this beer is amazing. The hops. I wish I knew what hops they use. DC Brow, they don't tell. They never post their hop bill online, so it's kind of hard to tell. You can probably smell and take a stab, but I'm not about to go there. But it's a 7% IPA. Beautiful can. I mean, the camera isn't doing it any justice. They just started canning this. This is going to be a limited run. This will be the only time this beer will ever be released.
DC is the only place we got cans. You know, other places, not even in Colorado, they didn't get it. DC is cans only on DC. Everywhere else is going to be a tap.
And to go to that point, it actually, they just canned it last weekend. Before that, you could only get it on tap. Well, you could get crawlers at the brewery to go. But yeah, this can was canned last weekend on, yeah, whatever. And like I said, I had it before. It was crazily dank, but not overbearingly dank. It was very, very pleasant. The nose hits you, and the taste certainly doesn't disappoint following it. I'm gonna guess that they probably got a good bit of Simcoe hops in here. I wish I knew an IBU number, but you know, DC Brow, they seem to sound, if I find one, I'll come back and tell you, but DC Brow tends to be a little vague with their with some of their descriptions. I could probably find it elsewhere, but If you see this beer and you can get it, by all means, you should try it. I mean, because it's, like I said, it's not going to be brewed again. This is just a one-time shot, and these guys can brew. I mean, we know DC Brow. You know, everybody knows about On the Wings of Armageddon, right? Yeah. Oscar Blues. Have you ever had a bad beer from Oscar Blues?
Not many.
So, right. So the point is, if they get together and make a beer, all you need to know is that they can brew. And it's pretty delicious.
Did you talk about that label before the show or on the air? That can. I have the...
Oh, yeah. So, I actually have a poster y'all can't see. It's basically a poster of the art on the can. And this is probably the first time that I've ever seen a can that was actually wrapped as opposed to the design being printed on the can itself. This is almost like a wrap that they put on the can.
A heat shrink, I'm sure, yeah.
And I love this can, man. I had the opportunity to meet the guy who did the art. I can't remember his name right now. But this is a beautiful can.
I mean, they normally do the wrapping for when it's smaller quantities, because when you commit to can that is printed, you get a lot of of them. So yeah, normally small quantity, they use that wrapping. It's a sleeve that it's a thermal shrinking or something that they call it.
Thermal wrap or something like that. But I like this beer, and cheers to DC Brow and Oscar Blues for doing it again and again and again and again. I'm making great beer, so.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Now I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, the originally, as far as I remember, the IPAs were not very high in ABVs, right? They were like 6.5 because of taxation at the time. And we talk about like, oh, people are doing like lower ABV IPAs again now, but that's how it was before. It just became like very hoppy and high ABV, I think, here in U.S., right?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of... Maybe that happened with the creation of the double or the imperial IPA, right? I mean, because IPAs... I guess it depends on what definition you go by. Once you hit... Some people will say once you hit 7.5, some say 8, some say 8.5. Once you hit that, then you're hitting imperial or double territory, so... I mean, the IPA itself is not. I mean, I don't consider 7.5% to be a big beer, but I don't think the IPA, the single IPA style, is typically one that's high ABV.
See, I thought double IPA. I thought that just referred to how many hops.
Nothing that has not. It has nothing to do with the hops at all. It's the ABV.
Oh, all right then.
All right, awesome. Now I want that beer. So who else has a beer open? Let's see.
Gil.
Go ahead.
Real quick, I'm sorry. On their website, it said they have a quote from the co-founder and CEO, Brian Skull from DC Brow. He said, it seemed to be a connection we had between the two places. The idea was to make a beer that obviously does not have cannabis in it, but sort of could emulate the flavor or aroma profile as closely as possible, being that hops themselves are so closely related to cannabis. So they made it to it's super dank, as they say. So there you go.
Smells you seem good. Happy.
It smells good.
It makes me happy just to look at you right now. You look like a little kid just got a new toy.
Well, I'm just saying, listen to the tasting notes. Smells Like Freedom is a big, juicy hot bomb of an IPA with a nice medium body, slightly dried out thanks to the addition of sugar to the brewing kettle. Hot profile. Its huge notes include resiny, piney, earthy, sticky cannabis and white pepper with aromas of cannabis, tangerine, and sugar-coated, blah, 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 blah. They go somewhere else and they mention cannabis again. So there's no question about what this beer was intended to be reminiscent of.
So you're going to end up doing a comparison to this and the Stone 420? Is that supposed to be like a dank beer as well?
Well, last year's 420 was dank. This year's 420 isn't dank at all. I had some of that tonight earlier, and it's...
Okay.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be super-duper dank, but it wasn't.
That's awesome. All right, what about you, Matt? You seem like very Interesting.
I am very into this beer. I put this one on the on the event. This is a beer that was a gift from a good friend of mine. I'll tell you in a minute. Rheingeist. This is a Cincinnati brewery.
Yeah.
And this friend of mine, Brian Weedman, he and his wife own that little sandwich shop, the George Bauer's Groceries that we did the live show from. Which, by the way, I found a new favorite sandwich there. They've got this roast beef, caramelized onions thing. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
What show was that, Matt?
Yeah, right.
Pints and Quarts?
It was a Pints and Quarts episode. But I had the corned beef that time. Anyway, the Reuben. But this is their beer. This is, I guess this is kind of their flagship at Rheingeist. This is Truth IPA. He also got me a can of their rye pale ale, which is called Hustle. Cincinnati, as you know, is where the first game of the baseball season is always played. So they've always they'll be on Sunday night. So they've got Hustle that's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be at the park or if it's just in honor of the baseball season getting ready to kick off here tomorrow, Sunday, day after tomorrow. So anyway, this is the Truth. It is a grapefruit forward. I mean, the hops and the aroma are all citrus, all Pacific, you know, just... Man, it's bright. It's really fresh. He said his mom got this can at the brewery, got the six-pack at the brewery, so, you know, I'm sure this is within a couple of weeks old. It's actually really good. I want to read the paragraph. It's like three sentences here. Hang in. This is on the can of Truth from Rheingeist. He's going to make you want one if you don't already. Rare are moments of truth. When you've struck that last match, belting out tunes with your friends, staring deep into the campfire, times when you feel infinite. Our truth is found in the scintillating brilliance of hops. Brewed with a nod to the Pacific, hops sizzle with tropical fruit aroma, grapefruit, and mango notes in a dry finish. And that is poetry, man. Poetry.
I bought a six packs from them. They had a number AO2 that I got for them, which was nice.
Did you try the Truth?
Yeah, I bought a six pack from them.
Oh, did you drink the six pack or you bought a six pack?
No, I bought it and drink the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh. All right.
I might have a can yet. On the after party, gonna run upstairs and see. I might have a can yet.
Yeah. Well, it's really good. It is extremely bitter. This says it's a 7.2% and 75 IBUs, but it is. It dry hopped and every hopped, and they might have just sprinkled some hops into the canning line too. I mean, it is really, hoppy.
They have, I know they have Amarillo and Centennial in there, so you get a lot of.
Yeah, well, that's where the grapefruit's coming from there, right? The Amarillo. Mm-hmm. But I think it is. There is a nice malt balance to it. I mean, there's malt to it. It isn't all West Coast, but it's. It's the kind of thing I could drink a few of sitting around the campfire or sitting around the webcam with you guys. So that's what I got to say about the Truth from Rheingeist.
Cincinnati, yeah. Hey, I've never heard about them until I was in Cincinnati last year. All right. Let's see who else. Charles, you are next.
Gil, I'm sorry. I got a quick question for Charles.
Sure.
Charles, you remember on Pints and Quarts we did that one episode about the distributors in Cincinnati and like something a law changing in Kentucky that didn't allow them to come in?
Yeah. Yeah, and that did get passed where if you're in that state, you can't own a brewery and distribute, but people who own breweries outside of that state can distribute inside that state. So they passed a law blocking that. And it was mainly intended to block, like, Budweiser from taking a control of the distribution in that state. But this particular brewery Matt's got, as a side effect, they own some distributors in that state because they brew elsewhere. And now they're pretty much going to lose that business.
That's where I was getting, because then that name sounded familiar.
Yeah, which means that state is going to lose being able to get their beer.
Sucks.
Because right now no one distributes internally, so
okay.
It's, you know, those things just bugs me to the core. It's just, I don't understand.
They always backfire. Even if they say it's for some good cause, it's going to have ramifications that affect a lot of people.
Yeah, I wonder. You know, we blame big brewers, but I wonder if that's the only true people who has interest in all this thing. I think there's more, you know, there are other...
Yeah, I mean, and it's just the state itself protecting, you know, they don't want the industry money going out of the state if it's being sold in the state, and that's what's happening when with the out-of-state distribution owners.
So what's your opinion on that law?
It's got good things and bad things. I don't really see a problem with people in other states being able to distribute if they happen to. If it's not illegal for you to own a brewery and be a distributor, as long as those two things take place in two different states, I don't really see too much of a big deal. But should that be legal with a three-tier system? I mean, why does it having one in a different state make a difference? Either you can only be one of the tiers, or you can't. But I don't, you know, so.
Right.
It just seems to be a really muddied legal scenario all across the board, all across the country. It's different everywhere.
I mean, what's to keep them from just selling their distributors to a company in the guy's wife's name, you know, or his brother?
Yeah, they could probably end up spinning it off into somebody, you know, or one of them will move there and get their home address in that state.
Right.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Well, what about your beer? I hope it's better news than that.
Oh, yeah. I am going with 6-point Bengali. Used to be Bengali Tiger, but they've tweaked their recipe slightly and their packaging. When they moved to the 6-packs, they came out with a Bengali version. It's a pretty sweet beer. It is... It's a bit lighter. It's a 6.5 ABV, 69 IBUs, and it's an 11 SRM. But this is a really tasty, tasty IPA. It's it gives you an indication of where you're gonna go towards when you move up to resin and high res. This is a nice mellower version. You've got the hops. You've got a bit of citrus, that piney bite, but you have a nice malt balance in this one. As well, they do a really, really good job of it. Nice. And I probably can't get it on camera, but I love their
The Skyline barcode.
Yeah, the Manhattan Skyline is their barcode.
Nice.
Pick up, but that's
is that yeah. How big is that?
The Liberty Statue.
Is that the same size can as like what they put resin in, or is that like the big?
Yeah, 12-ounce cans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and all their 6-pack packaging now are 12-ounce cans.
Okay.
They've been moving away from the 16-ounce cans for the most part. Though I think, I'm trying to think, one of them, I don't know if it was Global Warmer or I can't remember which one was the last one I had in the 16-ounce cans.
They can brew too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they make some pretty spectacular beers. And this is one of my favorite IPAs. It's just a really, really solid, solid beer. It was a tough choice between this and Ithaca Flower Power. But since I might go with resin next week for the double IPA, it seemed to be a natural progression to go Bengali, resin, high res. So,
yeah.
You would put high res on where on that lineup?
Well, they package high res as a triple IPA. It's actually on their packaging as IPA. It's up there. It's 11. I think it's 11 or 12%. It's very similar, surprisingly, to Hop Slam. Like I did a side by side with those two beers recently, and I was shocked at how similar in taste they were until you got to the aftertaste, and then they went off in two completely different directions.
Awesome.
And high res is pretty much resin on steroids. It's an amazing beer. But all three of these, just from your regular IPA, double IPA, triple IPA, or whatever you want to call it, they fit together in the style. They fit together as a flavor profile. It just keeps building and building on top of each other. I wish they made a pale ale and had like all four, but as far as I know, they don't have a pale ale. They definitely don't in their regular lineup.
That sounds good. I think I had it last year. I didn't have any this year.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Well,
I don't know if you can see this. they always have these little logos, and each beer is different.
That's the Beast Brew logo right there.
Yeah, and it fits in with like the Bengali. Yeah, and it's since it's a Bengali tiger kind of, you know, it fits right into the whole Beers like for Beasts.
Tiger. I have to look back at it. It's the face.
All right, that's awesome. Before we move over, we have a couple of our viewers, like Linda Dean. She's drinking the Oakshire IPA. I think it's Oakshire Brewing, right? And then Brandon, I'm going to butcher his name. Kuzanovich. He's drinking Victory Hop Ranch, which I actually like a lot. And there you go.
Yep.
So now that I butchered the name, you put it in live so people can actually see it.
And yeah,
we have Antonio too. He's having a nighttime from Lagunitas.
Yeah, and Tom put up the stats on Randy's beer.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, Randy finally found it.
Yeah,
there you go. 65 IBUs, Randy.
65 IBUs. The hops. I thought it would be Simcoe, but it was They had. Well, first of all, the malt is Canadian Turo, so James would be proud. Canadian Turo, Carapils, and C60, and the hops are Columbus Equinox Experimental Variety NJ007 and Experimental Variety 05256. Sounds like somebody's prison number, but
yeah, they may get a name eventually, but
yeah.
So summer in Canada isn't long enough for them to grow 6-row.
So no.
Two row out of Canada.
What do you mean, how long does it take to grow it?
It's all in greenhouses. How are you doing, James? I haven't seen you forever.
No, I saw that you guys had your 150th episode, but I was sleeping, so I figured I had to get in.
We were too.
Pardon?
Lola was sleeping during the hangout.
We were sleeping too. It's okay. You would have fit in.
Yeah, I guess I could have been sleeping, but I was just going to mention to Randy, yeah, it makes sense to eat Canadian hops for that because, you know, we love our cannabis up there too, so.
There you go.
You know, like I was going to ask you though, does it taste like an outdoor strain or is it like an indoor strain?
I don't know, man. tastes like BC, bud.
Okay. How long do you think until Colorado makes like the first weed beer?
I don't think the TTB would allow that.
No.
No.
I just hope it's not cut with anything bad. Isn't that what they say, cut with anything bad?
Yeah, that's what they usually say, but I don't know. I think a THC beer might be interesting.
Well, only in the state of Colorado, perhaps.
Well, isn't it Colorado and
Washington?
Yeah.
Colorado, Washington, D.C., I think Alaska now, and...
Oh, yeah, Alaska, because that lady, like, totally quit on TV. She was the person that was actually...
Oh, I remember her, the newscaster.
But Alaska, it's a surviving thing. Like, they have to allow those things. How can you leave there, you know, without that kind of... Like,
but does that grow up there with all the snow and everything?
Not all of Alaska is...
So, yeah, Lola, you need to travel a little more.
Please.
Although I was just cracking on Canada, so, you know.
Well, Canada does. I had some good IPAs from Canada. I had an awesome barley wine last month in Canada as well. What you drinking, James?
Well, I kind of had to join the hangout also tonight because you guys said India Pale Ale, and I felt like I would be misrepresenting myself if I didn't join from India. Off to you guys.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, I'm only drinking India's favorite beer, which is Kingfisher.
Kingfisher.
So right that's there. Not even craft beer, but, you know, I figured that I'd come on and drink it. And it's funny that Charles is drinking a Bengali because, you know, Bengal is between Bangladesh and India, and it's like a beautiful. So, it's just kind of funny. A lot of my friends are actually Bengali, so... they like their hops for sure.
They might like that.
Well, you know, we could say that you say you're only drinking a Kingfisher, but it is 7:55 a.m. there, so in style points. So
that is awesome. Yeah. Well, man, I've been to that part of the world, and it's different, and it's beautiful, and it's a bunch of emotions when you get there. So
And this beer was only $2.
Oh, that's good.
There you there go. You. Quality.
Mm-hmm. Over quality.
Quantity over quality, something like that. How is it?
It smells pretty good. It smells a little sour. I've been aging it in my fridge for about 2 months now. It has like some sweet flavor to it. It is the most favorite beer. I don't know how to talk about this beer. You know, it's a large brewery in India, so it's pretty standard.
Yeah, it's beer.
But yeah, they actually have quite a few craft breweries here in India that are doing some interesting things. Like, since I've been here, I've had cardamom ales, I've had cinnamon ales, and just like kind of flavor profiles that you wouldn't even think of back in North America. So it's been quite interesting in that aspect. Like, I thought cinnamon beer would taste really weird, but it was just like harsh enough that it was kind of nice. It wasn't like it hit you in the face, but then it went away. So. If you ever see a cinnamon beer, you know, maybe try to.
What kind of? What was the body of it? Was it a porter or not? What was carrying it?
It was from this company called Indus Pale Ale, I think it was, and I can't remember exactly what it was. But if I'll try to find it and I'll put in this.
But think about it. If you can hit the 2% of the Indian market, you're already a big brewer.
Mm-hmm. So,
Ballast Point makes a great stout called Indra Kanindra, and I'm assuming that was Indian inspired, as it has like a lot of flavors of like curry and I'm guessing like maybe some turmeric and some, well, obviously that's in curry, but you get it. But like it's a stout and it carries those flavors well. And the whole time I was drinking it, I was like, oh, this would be killer with some Indian food. So
yeah, you get like spicy food, James?
Not so much. I mean, okay. Like okay from time to time.
So you're eating a lot of bread right now, I guess.
Well, I'm eating like biryanis, and I'm eating dals, and I'm eating lots of piranhas and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty good, but I usually have to tell them to go easy on the spice. Like, if you ever eat this, like, Hyderabadian biryani, it's, like, super hot, and it burns my face right off. So, like, they definitely love their spice over here, for sure. And then they laugh at me when I have my face turned red. And,
Or you start choking.
I don't ever start choking. It's never been that bad, thankfully, but I've definitely had fire come out of my mouth at least a couple times.
When you cry, it's not because you're missing home, right?
Yeah, it's always because of the chili, man, yeah.
Or you're demanding milk. Where's the milk? I need milk.
That's yeah, awesome.
Pretty good idea. The beer company is actually called Indus Pride. That was one of the one that had the cinnamon and the cardamom beer. But I think it was a stout. Maybe not. But anyway. But they have a lot of stouts here. So, you know, Matt, if you ever come visit here, stouts and porters, you know, they've still got some decent ones here.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you'll show us around. Road trip!
Road trip.
I guess an airplane trip or boat trip. So.
Yeah, I don't think you can drive to India yet, but that would be interesting.
In the near future, Putin is saying that they should connect Alaska to Russia, and then you could theoretically drive.
Yeah.
It'd be a
you may not make it live. You may be in a coffin by the time you get there.
Yeah, right.
There was a proposal that just came out from somebody in Russia where they want to make a 12,000-mile connection from Moscow or from Russia all the way to New York and all the way across, going a whole all across the ocean and everything. Yeah, pretty wild, pretty crazy, but
it isn't that many miles between Alaska and. Russia, right? I mean,
this goes in the other direction, all the way across Russia and Europe and all the way, yeah. They want to go that way.
They realize that they tried to conquer the Ukraine. Do they think we're going to let them anywhere near our country?
Mm-hmm. I bet the guy who suggests that owns a contract to build road in Russia, right?
Bridges, probably.
Bridge, I think, is going to be the expensive part.
Right.
I don't think it's that bad of an idea, though. I mean, getting the oil across, you know, that wouldn't be too bad for either country. That sort of stuff. There's lots of oil and diamonds up in, you know, and it'd be pretty easy.
Yeah, the maintenance, I don't know, it'd be absurd, but... Well, we have Patrick Webster. Did I get your name right? Von Ihr Better Beer Bureau.
That's
a lot of people have commented on it. The more that you drink, the more difficult it is to pronounce our name.
E-triple-B, baby.
Yeah, so how are you doing, Patrick?
Very good. We actually did a review tonight, then we hung out and drank a couple more, so I'm already a couple deep here. And I didn't actually find out that it was IPA night until about 20 minutes before I joined your hangout here, so my IPAs may not be quite up to snuff here.
But you had some in the fridge, right? So,
well, not the freshest ones, but yeah, I did have a couple on.
Yeah. Tell us about one of them.
Well, actually, I'm drinking right now. It's a couple months old, but I'm doing the old, everyone should know this one already, Hop Slam Ale from Bell's, which I've been a fan of Two Hearted Ale pretty much ever since I started drinking craft beer. And Hop Slam is more or less an Imperial Two Hearted Ale with honey, so it's hard to disappoint with that.
I have a problem with the price of that beer. That's the only thing that I don't understand.
Yeah, they say it's because of the honey.
Well, and you know, we've actually had emails with Bell's before, and we found a lot of local shops tend to, once they find out that a lot of people want it, they tend to charge a little bit more than maybe it really should be charged. And I can't put that all on Bell's, but some places like to try to take advantage a little bit of how much people want it.
And I gotta say, honey is like literally the only food in the world that never expires.
Yeah.
It never expires, so they'll have plenty of it. That's not an excuse.
And actually, we don't have that many bees, so I think they're maybe playing on both of those factors. So if you like honey and you like beer, and you like bees, but how much does this beer cost? Is it a lot?
It was $5 around here.
Yeah, here it was like $22.50 for a sixer.
For a Hop Slam?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a different issue here. A lot of bottle shops like to break it into singles and sell between $8 to $10 a bottle.
What?
For a 12-ounce bottle?
I wish I was kidding. But here in Erie, we're at the end of a long distribution chain from Philly to Pittsburgh to Erie. So we get basically what is left over from everyone else, and so we get limited amounts, and some places try to overcharge a bit for it.
You know, we used that example before. Rand and I talked about this many times. I'm gonna use the same example again. Founders freaking sell their beers in barrels underground. He trucks in back and forth for 12 months. Now, and still, it's $6, you know. So there is no excuse for Hop Slam be that expensive.
Well, you know, at $12 a bottle, do they have any of it laying around? They're selling it all, so
that's true.
Someone's pricing it the way people are willing to pay for it.
That is true too. Yeah,
he's drinking one right now.
After all, it's all business, right?
We're the Hop Slam right now.
Well, the worst thing is I actually go just across the border to Ohio, and I can get it for much cheaper.
There you go.
Get it for, you know, $2.50 to $3 a bottle, and I refuse to pay this price.
Tell us a little bit about Hop Slam. I want to hear your review. I mean, I have so many different opinions on Hop Slam.
Give us your assessment.
It's a great beer. It's, of course, like any IPA, it's the best fresh. But I like the contrast you get from the bitterness from the hops with the kind of smooth sweetness from the honey. So it's usually a real good combination, and despite the amount of hops and the ABV on it, it makes it really drinkable. So, you know, Hop Slam is an easy beer to get yourself into trouble for if you're not ready for it. But I enjoy Hop Slam. Like I said, I've always been a fan of Two Hearted Ale, and Hop Slam is just like that plus the honey, plus the ABV, plus a little more hops. So I never can find a real complaint with it. It changes a little bit from year to year, like any beer. I mean, hops change, malts change. Even if the recipe stays the same, you're still going to get variations in your hop and malt crops. But it's always a real solid beer. I just won't pay $8 to $10 a bottle for it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
No, go ahead. I've
always thought that Hop Slam was really drinkable as well. But, I mean, to your point, you said, you know, it's hard to find anything wrong with it. Well, the thing that I find wrong with it is the value. I mean, Gil, Matt, you know, we got together earlier this year, and Hop Slam is released right around the same time as Nugget Nectar. And Nugget Nectar, even though that beer is listed as an Amber Ale or as an Imperial Amber Ale, that's
probably... That's Nugget Nectar here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's a beer that could have just as easily been featured tonight here on IPA night, to be honest with you. But from a value perspective, when you juxtapose Hop Slam to Nugget Nectar with, you know, two different styles, my money for my value, I'm going to Nugget Nectar every time. I know it's two different beers. I know Hop Slam has the hype, but Nugget Nectar, from a value perspective, which I can't get past, is the much better beer.
It's a different beer too, right?
Randy's point is a strong one, though, is that if you add value into the equation, but you don't let value be the only equation, because
right.
If it's all about value, then Coors Light is a hell of a great beer.
Right.
You can get 32 of them for $15.
So value can't be your only driver, but who on this panel is going to say that Nugget Nectar is a bad beer?
Right.
Right? So the value is there, but the beer is a damn good beer.
Right.
The thing is, for Hop Slam, I can go across the border here and I can find it for, you know, $17 or $18 a six-pack, but if I try to buy it here where I live, it's unreasonable. There's no way I'm paying $8 to $10 a bottle for it.
No way.
But it gets more comparable to Nugget Nectar depending on your market. So it just, whenever you get into local beer politics, whenever people get limited amounts of things, it makes it much harder to compare the beers you're drinking.
Right, and despite the fact we bitch and moan about it, but the truth is, we only buy if you want, right? Nobody's forcing your hand to go get
absolutely.
And there's so right. much option there. I mean, it's overwhelming how many beers are sitting on the shelves right now, so you have plenty to go from. Well, let's see. Lola, what you drink tonight?
I went local. The funny thing is, I didn't like IPAs until about a year ago. To me, they smelled like dirty socks.
Wow.
They still smell a little bit like dirty socks, but my nose has gotten used to it, so I'm okay. But I do realize that I like, you know, the more like 60 type hops, you know, maybe not like the higher IBUs. So I definitely like sort of the middle of the road when it comes to hops, and I have got Hop Banshee from Veterans United Brewery, which is a new brewery here in Jacksonville. It's south of where I am. It's actually off of Southside Boulevard, Randy.
Is that why you have the hair today, just because of the Banshee on the logo there?
I didn't think about that, but I actually always look like this, and sometimes I sound like a Banshee, especially if I'm drunk, so it's actually a perfect beer for me. Because I tend to howl a lot. And it's 6.5 alcohol by volume. And I have the specs up here. Let's see if I still have it. IBU 66. I guess that's about it. That's all there is really to say about it. But let's see if I can get it. I've drank most of it, unfortunately. There it is. It's a pretty amber color. It's definitely got the citrus. I get the citrus more than anything. And actually, I've got the hops. They say the hops they do. Cascade, Centennial, Chinook, and Columbus. So the citrus is very strong with this one. So I'm thinking they use a lot more of that particular hop. But it's a nice tasting beer. It's not too hoppy. It doesn't taste like somebody put a pine cone in my mouth, but some of the higher ABV beers taste, or higher IBU beers taste like to me. So it's like right in that sweet spot for me.
That's good. What's the brewery's name again?
Veterans United Brewery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a local brewery for you?
Yep, Jacksonville, Florida. They just opened a few months ago. In fact, I wrote an article on them for Craft Beer Nation several months ago.
I remember now. Yeah, that's true.
They're very nice people.
That's awesome. Well, myself, I'm going to do a shout-out to our friends there. Santa Fe Brewing Company. I'm drinking the delicious Happy Camper IPA. Mm-hmm. Just got to grab a 2-6 pack while I was on that side of the country. You get this beautiful color on this beer. I think, is that their year-round IPA now, right? Do you remember that, Matt?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So they do Cascade, Simcoe, Bravo, Amarillo, and Summit in this. And this is like a... He screams pine. You know, very strong pine on the nose. But it tastes really good. You get a nice bitterness in the end. And the funny thing is, because I was waiting, I didn't want to drink everything, it got warm. And then it got quite bitter as it warmed up. Much bitter than it was when it was a little cooler. But yeah, you get all those hops right through it. And the thing I like this beer is that I like beer that it's bitter right on the beginning. Like when you drink, you get that bitterness and then lingers around and then get bitter again in the back. And I think I like to call the bitter back-to-back, and that's what I get from this beer. This is a really good beer. And, you know, every time I have a beer from Santa Fe, I wish they were closer or we could get more stuff from them.
Very, very delicious. Santa Fe.
Yeah.
They have to change their name.
Yeah, but if you have your chance and you are somewhere, you know, on the West Coast and you can grab a 6-pack of Happy Camper, very, very delicious beer. It really, really delivers all the flavors, and you know, and different from Lola that doesn't like the pine cone. I like that taste, and that beer delivers a lot of that for me. So, pretty solid, pretty good beer. I think it's another great beer from the people from the Santa Fe there. They're doing something right because I haven't had a terrible beer from them, or even. Mid ground beer,
right? All
their beers are coming out great, and they're just they're knocking out the park. Let's see if we can. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that there's such an emotional connection between beer and us as people. I think. I mean, it's that beer is a solid beer. It's a great beer. But every time I look at it, every time I taste it, I still have my favorite moment of all this stuff we've done so far. With Pines and Courts and with our hangouts and spotlights and stuff, as soon as we went off the air with an interview with Santa Fe two years ago now,
mm-hmm.
Ryan Locke, the owner of Santa Fe, goes out to their canning line with a laptop to give us a tour. And the canning line's running, so he's screaming like, "Oh, you guys, and he grabs a Happy Camper off the canning line and like NASCARs it one hand, and he's drinking it as the foam is running down his arm. You know, and to me that was just that was cinematic beauty that we did not record.
No.
So every time I drink one of those, I think of that moment, and I think, you know, there's an emotional bond, an emotional connection between our favorite beers, and why maybe some people, they connect to Hop Slam, and they're willing to pay $8, $9, $10 a bottle for it.
That's
because there's perceived value because of that emotion.
Well, it's pure passion what we do, right? We make no money in this. It's not the cheapest hobby, but it's something that is about pleasure, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, you hit right on the heart in there. I totally agree with you.
It's cheaper than a crack pipe. I mean, really.
So. In the long run, right?
I have all my teeth. Look, right there, they're mine.
Got all my teeth. Oh, well, no, man. I don't actually.
I don't think it's cheaper than a crack pipe, though.
The pipe is pretty cheap. I think it's the crack you pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crack. They probably pay for the pipe. That's
yeah.
Okay, let's go back to me, crack expert, happy expert.
Yeah, so, Doug, what are you drinking? Did you finish all those beers? You had like a list of beer there, man.
Well, I unfortunately, the first one I cracked open, I took about 2 sips and poured it straight down the drain. It's a local brewer that has a pretty bad track record, but they supposedly were to have gotten things turned around, but that doesn't appear to be the case. So tonight I went with a beer from Ballast Point, Big Eye IPA.
That's another great beer.
Really?
So I know Sculpin kind of gets all the hype from Ballast Point when it comes to IPAs, but this one definitely, you know, can hold its own against Sculpin, you know, get that really tropical, resiny flavor and aroma. I believe I read it's Columbus and Centennial are the two main hops. And I was looking at in comparison to this and like Sculpin, but they're both like 7% alcohol, both 70 IBUs. So, you know, the kind of, I guess the only main difference, I guess, between these two is kind of the hop profile in them. You kind of get a very faint malt sweetness, but then it's all, you know, hops, you know, the fruitiness, the tropical notes, and since it's kind of got that Columbus, you kind of get that kind of dank.
Which one smell?
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, like, cracking it open and it just hits you in the face like you ran into a pine tree, right? Like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's got that, like, I mean, it's very strong, piney, resiny, but then you kind of get that sweet, fruity, tropical notes on the back end of it. Where yeah. I think Sculpin tends to be more fruity from start to finish, this kind of has that other characteristic to begin with. Almost to me, similar to the most recent Stone and Joy By. It's kind of got a similar flavor to it, like, up front.
That's a big shoes to fill right there. That's, I just, you know, nobody had a black IPA. Brandon Kozanovich, I'm going to get his name by the end of the show. He's drinking a black IPA, and none of us brought any black IPAs tonight.
I've got my smoked black IPA in the fridge right now. I can grab it.
Oh, you do.
I'm not a fan of black IPAs.
We have a few minutes, and that's why I brought up, because we have a few minutes yet before the end. And
Jeffrey hasn't spoken yet.
I didn't even see Jeff just pop up there.
He's like a ninja. He's a hangout ninja.
I'll let Jeff talk about his beer, and then I just want to spend like maybe 2 or 3 minutes just to hear about what you guys think about black IPAs. Unmute yourself, Jeff. All right.
Would you call them dark IPAs, or would you call them black IPAs?
You're muted, Jeff.
What did you say, James?
Because, like, in Canada, we don't call them, like, a black IPA. It's, like, known as a dark IPA, because we have, like, the, you know, dark Cascadian ale and other different flavors usually that are like that. It's never really referred to as, like, a black IPA. So is there, like, a difference between the two, or?
I think it's just a Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Lost in translation.
Y'all also
they got to be more polite. Yeah.
We have to call it like a Cascadian Ale IPA too, right?
So. Yeah, I don't know. There's two, maybe three black IPA that I would say that's good. I the concept of a black IPA, it's beyond me. I don't understand the reason for black IPAs. So maybe you guys can talk me out of it or change my mind. I don't know.
No, I'll tell you. Like. For me, personally, I wasn't a huge fan of them to begin with. Like, I think when you try to combine those styles, it generally doesn't work for me. Like, I like IPAs, I like your stouts, but it depends on which way you're going with it. And I forgot who had a conversation with them about this before, but it depends on if you're trying to start with, like, an IPA and try to make it more black in color and flavor and, you know, the roasting notes, or if you start with, say, a heavier American stout and then try to, you know, up the hops on it to make it more bitter so you get more of the roast qualities and the bitter kind of falls in line with that. And over time, when I've been drinking some of these, I almost kind of prefer the stout-like IPA, or if it's going to be a black IPA, I prefer it to be some of the darker, more stout-like with that really strong, you know, American citrusy hops notes. Because to me, if you're going to drink one on the other side that's more IPA-like, you might as well just drink a regular IPA.
That's my point. Did you guys ever review any black IPAs on your show, on your reviews, Patrick?
You know, I don't think we actually have reviewed any black IPAs. We've certainly drank our fair share of them, and you know, some of them are better than others. It is a weird style of knockdown. I do also prefer more of a of a stout, like a heavier hop stout, like a Victory Storm King is a great example of a highly hopped American stout that is also real tasty. But then you have other stuff, which is like Tommyknocker does, like their Hop Strike, which is a black rye IPA, and I do kind of like the kind of spiciness that the rye brings to it in addition to the hops, which is nice. But a lot of the basic black IPAs, they're almost kind of in between styles in a way it's kind of hard to place to see if you really like them or not.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you get them kind of in between, like, I want to be an IPA, but I want to be a stout, and you kind of like butt heads, and like the flavors just don't kind of meld well. I think you've kind of got to go to one end or the other, and kind of add a little bit of the other side. But that's my thing. Like, if you're going to be an IPA and try to make it a little bit roasty, then I don't think it works as well as if you're really roasty and just kind of really hop the crap out of it.
Well, yeah, I know. Now, like you mentioned, I'm sorry, Gil. Patrick, you mentioned the Storm King. That's like a hoppy stout. Have you had their Yakima Glory, though?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's their black IPA. That's their black IPA. But for me,
it's okay. I like the Storm King better. It's sorry.
Yeah, and I like the Yakima better.
Are you a black IPA fan, Charles?
I'm a big black IPA fan, too. Peak Organics Hop Noir is fantastic. Smutty Nose's Noonan is another just a fantastic black IPA. And we have a local one here in Watkins Glen, the Roosterfish. They make a world-class black IPA as well called Raven. That's, to me, far and away their best beer.
Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of that. I like the dark sort of roasted malt added to that big, juicy... citrusy IPA.
Another good one, unfortunately, for it's back towards Randy's neck of the woods. Yeah. Black Pearl from RJ Rockers is out of South Carolina is really, really good.
So I need to
Jeffrey J. Davis doesn't seem to like it.
Mm. So I know Randy is with me now.
We can't hear Jeff anyway, so it's all right.
What do you think, Randy? I know you were like
Jeff,
me.
Restart your hangout.
So, I like RJ Rocker's Black Pearl. I think it's probably because I feel a strong to represent the home brewery. But as far as black IPAs go, there are a few of them that I like. I mean, Wookie Jack, Black Pearl, it's probably about the only two. I mean, I don't like hoppy stouts, so I certainly don't like black IPAs. I don't get the roastiness and the hoppiness characters playing together. They don't do it for my palate. So it's a style that I will almost always pass on unless you got one of the two that I really like. It's just not my personal preference. I'll pass.
Any of you guys ever have blacker?
There you go.
Troubleshooting champion.
Good job.
Jeffrey, I've had Blacker. I think is that's a collaboration brew, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Three Floyds, Surly, and Real Brew, and it's a 10%. It's more like what Doug was saying. It's got a pretty big, pretty roasty, but it's got a real nice hot bitterness. That's my number two beer, and that's a big beer.
I try that. Well, we're getting to the end of our show here.
I'm just going to crack open my black IPA now.
Black IPA. Next week we're going to do double IPA, right? So it's going to be fun. I can see those ABV being catching on very quick. I want to thank you, Brandon, Linda D, and Tom Snyder for hanging on there. And
Antonio.
Yeah. Oh, Antonio. He gave me a Sokaba. Antonio has my heart right now. So. And also Mark Pyle for being on the lookout on the show. And thanks, Patrick, for joining us in today and all our rest of our groups. And James, it's nice to see you again.
Awesome. Deal.
I want to just... remind everybody to check. Oh, do you have anything else to say, Randy, before we...
Yes. Brandon also mentioned another one that I like, Lagunitas Nighttime.
That's a good cascade.
Yeah.
That's a very good cascade.
Yeah, you know, maybe I don't hate black IPAs as much as I thought. Maybe
before you wrap things up, before you think, as you're thanking those people that are watching and engaging, Gil, let them know that we are, right now there's 10 of us in this hangout, but people will be dropping out. If you want to come in and drink in the after party with us, drop a little message there, and we'll invite you to it once we're off the air.
Right.
Sure.
Just let us know, and if there's space, you can come in and join us for the end. So check us on craftbeernation.beer. Make sure to watch our show Pints and Quarts every Thursday night. We have awesome people that are great names on the brewer world, and we're everywhere, Instagram and
Twitter,
Facebook, all those places. Yeah, we're having fun. So make sure to join us next week for Double IPAs, and also check our Craft Beer Nation community at Google Plus.
Subscribe to awesome. On YouTube.
Subscribe to YouTube. That's very important. Stitcher, iTunes. Man, we are too many places to remember right now.
If they just go to craftbeernation.org, yeah. You can go to everywhere we are from that website.
From there, yeah. Just that's why I say just go to craftbeernation.org or .beer.
Or
.beer. Thank you for hanging out, and I see you guys next week. Double IPAs.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.